Hello and welcome to 251, Two Pianists, 5 Minutes, One Podcast. And today we're going to be talking about one of our under-the-radar pianists, Eddie Costa. My name's Simon Whiteside.
And my name's Nick Tomlin. And this is 251. Eddie Costa was born in 1930 in Atlas, Pennsylvania. Received piano lessons from his elder brother, who I think obviously had lessons, and a local piano teacher. He sort of became better known for playing vibes later on, but he was actually kind of self-taught on vibes. I don't think he ever actually had a lesson on the vibes. He just basically taught himself, I think, having learned the piano, and began taking paid gigs from the age of 15, and then worked and toured with the violinist Joe Venuti until 1951, when, like a lot of other musicians around that time, he was basically drafted into the army. And I think he was involved in the army entertainment, you know, bands, but played as, you know, as far afield as Japan and Korea, I guess, traveling with the army. And then in 54, that was really when he started his recording career. He recorded first with the guitarist San Salvador. And in 56, he did his first recording as a leader with a trio featuring Vinnie Burke on bass and Nick Stabulus on drums, who I think was a kind of West Coast, or are they both West Coast?
They're not super well known, are they?
No, but I've come across Nick Stabulus before.
Do you know where it was recorded?
No, I'm not sure.
Whether it was a West Coast East Coast recording.
I'm not sure. He also recorded some albums with Tal Farlow in this kind of drumless trio, also featuring a Burke on bass. But he was hugely in demand as a session musician. I kind of worked it out. Between 1956 and 62, he appeared on over 100 sessions with players like Coleman Hawkins, Phil Woods, Eric Dolphy, a huge list of people. So for some reason, he was really kind of well regarded as a sort of sideman.
And all this on piano?
He did both, piano and vibe. Sometimes vibe, sometimes piano. It really depended. And then in 57, he recorded a quintet album with Phil Woods and Art Farmer, with Teddy Kotick and Paul Motion as well. And that's a really good album. I'd recommend listening to the album. It's great. There's some of his originals on there. He plays vibes and piano on that album.
Well, we can put a link to that.
Yeah. In 58, he recorded perhaps his best known album, which is Guys and Dolls Like Vibes, which is obviously where he's taking tunes from Guys and Dolls. And that has Bill Evans on piano, actually, which is interesting. Wendell Marsh on bass. To talk about him as a player, he's obviously of the kind of Bill Evans. I think he was probably quite influenced by Bill Evans and probably Lenny Tristano. He's from that kind of... definitely influenced by Bud Powell, but playing very long lines, very kind of linear style. Maybe his left hand wasn't quite as kind of sophisticated as Bill Evans. He was still playing more the kind of bebop kind of left hand. But he was a really good player. But tragically, he died aged 32, and he was involved in a car crash that involved no other vehicle. So I don't really know what happened. New York's West Side Highway. 72nd Street, and age 32, and he died, which is quite tragic because I think he's definitely one, he's a musician that could have gone on to do, I think, quite significant things in the music, you know. Never really got the opportunity.
I think quite a lot of people ended up hitting trees and leaving the road.
It was very common. I suppose for various reasons, you know, that I guess a lot of the times they were driving long distances late at night and also maybe... It wasn't unusual at all. There's quite a list, aren't there, of musicians who died.
Scott Lafaro,
Clifford Brown was another, so...
It's that or Shot by Your Girlfriend. Those seem to be the two good ones.
Anyway, check him out, Eddie Costa. He's really worth listening to as an underrated pianist. That's all for us. My name's Nick Tomlin. Goodbye.
And my name's Simon Whiteside. Goodbye.